All right, well, we'll make a start of it in 2 Chronicles, chapter 24, verses 1 to 3. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him 2 wives, and he begat sons and daughters. Let's ask the Lord to help us with the message this evening. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity that we have to study your word, Lord, and to learn from it. Thank you, Father, for the examples of the saints that you've laid out for us, Lord, to explain who you are, Lord, and your character. And Father, we pray that you help us to understand and to grow by what you have to teach us with tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight we are going to continue our study on marriage, and I think I'll begin first by explaining the choice of opening scripture. We are going to talk specifically about polygamy and what its role is in scripture, having more than one husband or wife. So during my study, I realised for the sake of keeping it simple, we'll just stick to the scenario of polygyny, which means one man with many wives, since that's the only sort of scenario we really see in the Bible. It's an obscure topic to deal with, don't you think? Since it is practiced nowhere in our country, why bother, you might ask? Well, what does its appearance mean in Scripture? What does it signify, especially when we see polygamy among patriarchs? Why are there examples of Old Testament Christians doing this? Clearly, this is not as simple as they were simply sinning. Polygamy is always a sin. God nowhere in the Bible expressly forbids a man taking more than one wife. And yet neither can we say that a Christian has this liberty today. They don't. I will be straight up here and say that I don't endorse polygamy in any shape or form today, and neither should you. But we ought to know the reason why, so that we can first respond to someone who has questions about this issue when they pointed out in Scripture this phenomenon of polygamy, in view of the fact that it seems inconsistent with Christian values, especially when the gospel is being presented in a witness situation. It's one of the things that they might throw at you. The second reason being that we need to have discernment about these issues and not just be led along by others' ideas. Regarding marriage, nowadays it's under attack. We need to have our ideas about marriage fleshed out and stable, and not just taking it for granted that we're following church traditions or cultural norms. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, Romans 14:23. If you can't be sure whether something is right or wrong, probably you haven't submitted it to God and really studied the word about it. A lot of people are biblically ignorant. I would say most people today haven't even picked it up and flicked through it, really. And the biblically shallow are vulnerable to deceivers in the church. It's no wonder most cult leaders, especially so-called Christian cults, have many wives to one husband. They've used scripture to justify this practice, and their followers are too simple to see this is the kind of fruit that marks them as a false teacher. Just take our opening scripture, for instance. It seems quite a positive endorsement when taking it out of context. Here we have Joash, a good king, a righteous man, and he has taken 2 wives for himself. But there's more to it than that when we look at everything God's word has to say about it. We are reading of a different situation than in Joash's time when we look at the New Testament, and the scriptures reflect that. There was a time and a place for polygamy, but that time and place isn't here and now. It's quite clear that a marriage involving multiple partners is not a recommendation of the Bible by any stretch of the imagination, and at worst we can infer that God frowns upon it for several reasons. The first most cogent reason being, of course, that it is illegal in most places in the world, including our own country, Australia, and so we are called upon to obey man's laws wheresoever they do not conflict with God's laws. So when there's no specific mandate by God, a divine mandate, to engage in polygamy. It's an indefensible act when we look at the laws of today in our country. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:13 to 14. Here is the word is dealing with our responsibility to our government and the laws of our nation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. In my study on this subject, just as an aside, I looked at the practice of polygamy in Mormonism. It's quite commonplace, actually, especially in Mormonism history. And they had quite a falling out with the American government over it, actually. So you can see that they weren't being true to Scripture in their obedience, that they ought to have respected the laws of the United States at the time. Second reason, polygamy would make it difficult to be obedient to some of the commands laid out in Scripture. For example, the exhortation to husbands to love their wives. We men fail to do this often enough with only one spouse to divert our attention. Having many wives would likely make it difficult to give each individual wife the attention they deserve. You should always make life choices with a view as to how it will affect your walk with Christ. I think of it in the same sense as indulging in alcohol. Yes, it can be faithfully interpreted that alcohol is not explicitly forbidden in Scripture, but when you look at the Scripture in the aggregate, would you deny that the warnings and instructions run at cross purposes with drinking? The Bible commands us to be sober, be vigilant. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." How are you to obey this command if you indulge in strong drink, especially when moderation is made so difficult because of alcohol's effects? You have one drink and it makes you feel good, so you have another, and your inhibitions let go and you have another, and so on. It's nigh impossible to drink without it gaining some control over you. Polygamy with alcohol is also one of the traps to avoid when it comes to the leaders of a nation. Kings, for example, and we'll see that in Deuteronomy 17:14-17. When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. You'll remember also that Solomon was turned away from the Lord by the idolatry of his many wives. Also, leaders of the church must not be married to more than one wife. We see this laid out in 1 Timothy 3:2, scripture most of you are probably familiar with already. I'll just read it to you quickly. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. So that rules out polygamy amongst pastors, obviously. You remember that Solomon was lured away from... The third reason why it's not a good idea is that polygamy doesn't have any truly positive examples in the Bible. Practically all the polygamous relationships that are described in more detail in the Bible entail some conflict. David and Michal, for instance, or Jacob with Leah and Rachel. Polygamy is by no means ideal. The fourth reason, and I believe the most compelling, is when we look at Christ's marriage to the church, which is the model of all earthly marriages, we see it is not a marriage between more than two, nor can it be. The church is referred to as the one body of Christ in Romans 12:5. Christ has one bride to whom he is totally devoted, and there are not many churches, nor can there be. Let's turn to Ephesians 5:25-33. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, I haven't given this message to dissuade anyone from polygamy. I think that's obvious, because there's very little risk of that in this church. But I want to point out from this example how good God is in his dispensation to the saints. He wants to lead us by grace wherever possible. But he does not make his commands so ambiguous as to be trifled with. His word is practical, and just as there are certain extraordinary circumstances where God's word allows a very specific use for alcohol, and we'll see that if we turn to Proverbs 31:6. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Very special sort of circumstance. So there is a reason why polygamy is not outright declared a sin, and it occurred among people in the Old Testament who were righteous in the eyes of God. Whereas we have examples of certain other things plainly pointed out as always wrong, under any circumstance, fornication, murder, and so on, polygamy is not one of them. I believe a reason polygamy is sometimes tolerated in the Bible is that in pagan cultures where polygamy is already practiced, if after a man is saved, what is he to do if he already has many wives? It would be a sin to divorce any one of them, right? What I mean is, which one of them is his actual wife then? How do you determine that? The first one, the last? Whereas many other aspects of a person's lifestyle ought to change as soon as they are converted and can be changed without ill consequences, such as drinking, stealing, fornication, so on, you cannot simply cease from marriage to multiple partners without disobeying God's paramount command not to divorce. So God made an allowance for it. Also, and this is the reason most apologists would give, polygamy might have done something to alleviate the vulnerability of single women in ancient times, in a place where all the single men may have been killed in battle. In Israel, a single woman without a male family member to support them would be in danger of great poverty. The book of Ruth readily exemplifies this. If a lot of the single men were dead due to war, then the remaining men could take care of many of these vulnerable women by supporting them in multiple marital relationships, as well as propping up a population by creating more families. As we close, I hope, what I pray is that by going through what Scripture has to say on this topic, on this question, you can see that God has an answer for everything, absolutely everything. Anything you can ask of the Bible, it can answer if you're willing to take the answer.